And good morning to you. This is the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks for January 13th, 2020. I'm your host, and I will be with you until 2 o'clock this afternoon. My name is Dennis Johnson, and sitting in the producer's chair, handling technical operations and everything else, is John Stout. And that's the team for Brass Tacks today. Is there anyone alive in Barbados today who remembers something called the Airport to West Coast Industrial Access Road? That's what it was called when it was designed. The Airport to West Coast Industrial Access Road. That's what it was conceptualized at. That was the vision of the Belgian Prime Minister. And when it was first put on the table, there was all sorts of discussions, some acrimonious, questioning the cost, the size, the width, the length, the everything about it, the necessity. I am sure most Barbadians born after 1999 cannot begin to imagine life without what we now call the ABC Highway. That's what it was called when it was designed. It was supposed to be four lanes, and they said no, and then, you know, later on we had to change it. So there is always this thing called vision, and my vision may not be yours. And while we may all have visions, very few of us lack the clout, financial or otherwise, to put it into fruition. But if you give people an X and tell them you have the right and they can find the finances to go with it, their vision will be implemented. I heard the question yesterday about whose vision is it? And I smiled when I heard that because I thought of the West Coast to Airport Industrial Access Road. That's why I wanted to start with that. So the discussion, I suppose, will continue, and there will be those who agree and those who disagree with the implementation of the vision, and perhaps somewhere, sometime, somebody will look back and a future generation will ask what was all the to-do about. Karl Moore, I think it was, in one of his letters to the editor, his letters to us here at Starcom, suggested that we should simply find a place to build a new city and build it from scratch, redesign it for the future. He was then commenting on the mess that is Warren's. I heard one of the gentlemen yesterday saying he prefers to go to the Dome Mall or Sheraton rather than to come to Bridgetown. You ever tried to get into the Dome Mall or Sheraton at Christmas time or any peak time? Warren's is a mess trying to navigate that particular, those series of roundabouts. And everybody in Sheraton wants to park in front of Sheraton, apparently. Although there's a multi-story car park there, they seldom use anything over the second floor for some strange reason. So it's not a question of where you park your car or how far you walk, you know. It's a question of what is your taste. And if we look to the future, where we're being encouraged to do everything online, banking online, get your pension online, get your items purchased from Amazon online, have it delivered to your home. We may not need to leave home to drive anywhere come 20, 45, or 55, at which point I won't be able to go anywhere anyhow, except 6 foot under. So, how do we plan for the future? Somebody's vision, and somebody with the power and the financial clout to have it implemented. The rest of us will just talk. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hi, good morning.
There are two questions I have here. Mm-hmm. Do you think that the media in Barbados has a special role to play, and is it performing that role?
I think the media in any country has an important role to play in the development of the country. And I am not happy with the role we currently play. That's my answer to your two questions.
Well, there's a sparsity of opposition voices in Parliament. There are only about three. And
really?
This administration has implemented the policy of silencing their harshest critics through inclusion. The case in point being Mr. Arthur being offered the post as chairman of LIAT.
You think that silences it?
Well, you are going to see, is he going to still be critical of the Prime Minister?
Why shouldn't he be if he has to be? Why are you laughing? Why should he not criticize the Prime Minister if he wants to?
It's his boss.
No, she's not. She's not.
The majority shares in LIAT.
No, sir. The decision to appoint Mr. Arthur chairman was done by whom?
Well, you suppose it was done by the government of Barbados?
No, sir. It was announced by the Prime Minister of Antigua, who has responsibility for LIAT. And it was taken at the decision of the board. The members of the owners of LIAT arrived at that. It was not done by the Prime Minister of Barbados acting on our own.
Well, we are going to see if he's still going to be critical of the Prime Minister.
But that's up to him. Why would you think he would not be?
Because if the Prime Minister wishes to get him removed, she could call on the other people in LIAT to have him removed.
And why would they do it? If he's doing a good job, why would they do it?
Well, because he's being critical of her.
No, but asking you, why would they do it?
Because Barbados has the majority shares in LIAT.
Sir, and we can't call the shots in LIAT? So
we
you
cannot
can say,
call the shots in LIAT.
Have we done so?
We have not done so.
Exactly. And what, did the Prime Minister of Barbados not offer to sell the shares to Antigua? And isn't Antigua getting a loan to increase their shareholding and change the financial structure of LIAT? So why do you keep assuming that it's the Prime Minister Barbados calling the shots on LIAT?
Well, I assume
the evidence does not support, sir, the evidence does not support that. If they were calling the shots, LIAT would be based in Barbados, the planes would be here, and we would have control of where the airlines go. So the evidence does not support what you're saying. The evidence does not support it, sir.
All right. The final thing, I would like Mark Williams.
No, sir. No. Let me put it bluntly on the table. For 2020, calling callers' name and telling them things, not when I sit in this chair, sir. You will talk to the gentleman face to face or some other place. I will not. I ain't gonna put up with it. I'm sorry. I sit as producer and I hear it all the time, and all it causes is people to call in and start defending their name and getting defensive and throwing accusations at other persons. Let me lift the discussion in 2020. The way you started on LIAT, perfect. We could talk like that. Don't go down that other line. That, I ain't letting you back down that line. I'm sorry. Brastax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
Hello? I think we know.
I got your voice. Yes, sir. I heard your discussion with David.
I will try to remain as composed as I can, but the only reason I'm calling the program again is because you are the moderator today. And I felt compelled to call you to tell you the difference you've made in helping me to search within myself for that part of me that is human and to share with other people, especially those less advantaged than myself. I myself have lived a Spartan existence, having come out of a poor family, and we've been able to raise ourselves to a level of dignity, and education has played a great role for me. Now, I realize the extent to which you have changed the way I think and the way I deal with people, and to bring that sense of humanity that lay dormant in me for a long time. There is no way that I can ever repay you for that part of me that you helped me to discover. And I feel indebted to you. I have heard and had conversations with others who've told me the difference that you've made to them as well. And I always think of how you and Comrade Morris Bishop has transformed my thinking. He was another person that touched me to the core. He was very human. And I owe a lot of what I've been able to do to give of myself back to humanity because of what you helped me to discover in myself. And because I don't know, if I ever get another chance, I say this to you personally. I want to take the opportunity to do it now, Mr. Johnson, and to let you know how you personally has transformed me into the person that I am now proud to know that I have been. Had not for you, I don't think I would have been found. I would have found a way to reach out and to have given of myself to humanity the way that you obviously have given of yourself. Thank you so much, Mr. Johnson, for what you've given to me. I can't put a price on it.
Sir, I have to say, I have to say to you that in my short existence, I have had to stand next to many of the people I care about and watch them leave this life, and it's not been easy. People I've loved, people I've roamed with, people I've interacted with. It hasn't helped me to deal with tragedy whenever it happens. But every person I've met along the way of life, I have been able to find something in them that has helped me to deal with some of the things I've had to deal with. My exchanges with you, sir, have always been enlightening. When we laughed, when we shared our concerns, your command of the language is just, to me, immaculate. And I know that you believe that there is another life in another place. And my wish is that it is better for you there than whatever it is you're going through now, sir. I firmly believe that there must be some place in life, somewhere in this world, where the injustices of this world are made just, and that one day I will be reunited with some of the people I've walked with, I've laughed with, and I've cried for. You've touched my life too, sir. And I think your last exchanges, the one with David and this one today, I hope somehow that it begins to shape someone else's thoughts on what it is to be human, what it is to care, and what it is to believe in oneself. I would love to see you too before we leave this life, sir.
I would really appreciate that. You know, Mr. Johnson, if my life could not have been shared for people, I can tell you right now, I would not have won today. There would not have been a way to place a value on my life. And I could not have thought of a better way, knowing how humble my own circumstances were. I could not have thought of a better way to give back to humanity than to have shared my life with them. And I am glad I was able to do so. David visited me yesterday, but the truth is that he has been so able to phenomenally preserve his youth that I didn't even recognize it was David until a visitor was here told me that it was David. I am astounded at how he was able to preserve his youth and look so fit and what have you. Mm-hmm. And I would like you to prevail upon him to ask him to condescend to visit me again, because I want to have an exchange with him that I wasn't able to have with him yesterday. As you would imagine, the Commemore Old Scholars group has rallied around me. Mm-hmm. And because of you allowing me on your program last Friday, I have had calls from all over the world. In fact, a lady has stood by my bedside who flew in from Saudi Arabia, and she has offered to put her own resources at my disposal, and she made it clear that those were quite adequate. And to put me in contact with a doctor in Miami. And I told her it was very gracious of her to offer and what have you. There's no need to go into that in depth now. But I only want to show you, you have a thing at VOB that radio works.
Yeah.
I want you to understand, in this case, radio worked astoundingly. Because when I call the program, my contributions were always, in my view, in a local context and meant to be. But I know VOB has a wide, worldwide reach. I had no idea it was global to this extent, because I don't know anybody in Saudi Arabia that until now, and people from Sweden, from Scotland, from London, from New York. I just received a call from Delaware. I mean, it is incredible the reach that VOB has. I wonder if VOB is truly the voice of Barbados. So, Mr. Johnson, thank you so much for how much you've brought to my life. I love me to share with others. I hope we get to see each other again.
I hope so too, my brother. And hold on. There is always hope, and we will see what transpires. But I will talk to David, and I will try to join him for a visit with you before this is all over. You know, I remember having a similar conversation with the jazz man, Lindsay, when he too was going through his challenges and he was going overseas hoping for something better. And then on All Year's Night, sitting here waiting to take Ken through one of his escapades, I got a call from Lindsay's wife saying that he did not make it. As long as there's life, there's hope. And the reach that you speak of VOB is something I try to impress on my colleagues, the station manager, and even my colleagues in Trinidad. When the feed, the live feed, goes down for our stream, there is no way that I can tell here in the studio. There's no way that John can tell where he's sitting in the control booth. There's no way that I don't think David Johnson, who is our IT guy, can tell from his office. But when the stream goes down, you get about 30 WhatsApp messages one after the other. And when we had a VOB chat, you'd see the stream is down, the stream is down, the stream is down, fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it. From London, Miami, somewhere in Canada, somewhere halfway around the world. And I would realize that it's not the people in the offices here who control what we do. Take care, my brother. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Good morning, Brother D.
Good morning, sir.
My prayers and hopes go to my boy Rashid. Hope that everything works out fine for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Mr. Johnson, my reason for calling, I sat yesterday and listened to the program.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, it pains me. You feel that the Barbados government just decided that the Prime Minister just decided that she can take down the National Insurance Building. You don't feel it was a discussion among engineers and technocrats and everything?
So I suppose any vision has to be accompanied by discussion, feasibility, as I said, the financial wherewithal and a desire to execute the plan, which is why I mentioned the airport to West Coast Road that we now call the ABC Highway. There is no way that anybody who said we should have a road that runs from the airport to the West Coast can just say, all right, let's do it, without discussing where it would run, how it would run, how much lands it would go through, how much money you'd have to spend, the lands to be acquired, the width, the depth, the etc. So I don't think the decision to have a space, a green space in Bridgetown, is something somebody get up one morning and say, you know what, I feel we should do that, and everybody just say, yeah.
But honestly, what I ask you that question is, the way that the people yesterday was talking, but this year can do and that can do, that building was there for 14 or 15 years. You don't feel that if they knew all along that all these things could have been done, that they can, there were influential people that was there yesterday. They can get a loan from the credit union or somebody and ask the government to sell them the building and do what they want to do with it.
Correct. The same way that an investor asked for the old Harbour Master place that is now going to be the site of Hyatt, that was originally the site of something else, was given to that investor to do, and when it didn't work, it went on to somebody else. I suppose it could be done.
But no, you see, it aches me to see that as people, as a government, or people trying to do something, that you can find all the detractors and this they can do.
So it's not necessarily detractors, you know, they're simply putting what they think is an alternative view that could have happened, should have happened, may still happen, if they have the wherewithal to do it. How long has the empire been vacant, and how many things have been said to do with the empire I was just had grass growing out of it and rats running around the place.
And
being a place to throw garbage before somebody decided I'd put my money behind it. How many things have been supposedly to be done to the globe that is still sitting there? Even some pastor wanted to buy it and turn it into a church, and it's still sitting there doing nothing. And it is also a good example of a theater.
But what I'm saying is, DJ, is that as some person tried to do something, everybody got different opinions, and it was there all the time, and they don't want to do nothing with it. But they know how good it can do this. And there was one in the studio yesterday that I had joking to, but he really had my I called him, but he had to hold on too long.
Why?
Huh?
But why was it upsetting you?
It upset me to hear the food, in my opinion, the rhetoric that this particular individual was saying.
So I think it's because of the individual and not what you were saying. Because, sir, everybody has a vision or an opinion. So you want, listen, okay, let me give you a classic example.
Yeah, give me.
Lieutenant Colonel Trevor Brown said something yesterday I agree with. If I had the power, there'd be nothing on the Bayside or Bay Street, nothing. From the police boys club all the way down to the corner down here by Independence Square, would have nothing but sea and sand. Everything on that side would come down flat. But that is my vision, but I ain't got the power to do it.
But I
have the finances, but hold on. The other thing is, on the other side of the street now, you know when you come down there where Harry's used to be and you're going up the road there, and even if you come all down by Lorry Dash, you got these buildings that have these patios, these verandas hanging over the road. I like that look. I would like all the buildings along there to look like that. The lobster place across the road have it. Copacabana has been rebuilt with the same kind of look, but modern. Because I like that. But that ain't mean it functional. That ain't mean it futuristic. That's just my view. So if I come and say, you know, okay, I get to be prime minister and say, I think we should lick down everything on the seaside of the Bay Street. And people look at me and tell me, you're crazy. That ain't good flying. But I can't do nothing about it. It's just my vision. So there are people who have visions. There are people who have thoughts. And they put it on the table. You listen to it. You agree or you disagree. You don't get them. Yeah, you're upset.
But there's very few things that Colonel Brown says in most discussions I heard that you can't agree with.
Well, there you go.
you see, you got to think for every individual. You can't think for yourself only. That was yesterday. I heard him say this one time. No, he can disagree with a particular individual, and I laugh. I laugh because Trevor Brown's thinking and a particular individual's thinking is completely different. But the I go on,
all right, sir. Have a good one. That's life, sir. Someone's telling the caller is right. It was Prime Minister Motley who recommended Owen Arthur Foliat. Okay, so she recommended him. He accepted, the board accepted, as he said, they had to rationalize it. What's the point? The point I'm making is that she recommended him, the rest of the people went along with it, the board made the decision. It don't mean that Mr. Arthur can't say, I disagree. Mr. Arthur is a man with a mouth, and I do not believe that a recommendation from the current Prime Minister means that he keep quiet. I really don't. And that's what the caller was trying to imply. That Mr. Arthur will not have a disagreement with the Prime Minister Barbados because she recommended him to be the chairman of LIAT is a far stretch for me. I can't see it at all. We have this belief somewhere along the line. I don't know where it came from. But we have this belief that men suddenly lose their rocks because they get a position. And, you know, I don't know what happens in cabinet. I don't know what happens in the boardroom unless it comes out. You had a minister in the previous administration who disagreed fundamentally with the financial decisions being taken by his administration. He said so openly. He said so in Parliament. And when time came to vote, he voted with them. He went into the Prime Minister's office, he said, with flip charts and made his feelings known. trying to tell me because a minister he didn't criticize? So it's different for a chairman? Okay, that's why perhaps I never get a pick. Because, anyway. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm all right, sir. How are you?
I first got to apologize to you. I made a comment last week, Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I said I'd be only calling two moderators.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I forget that you're the moderator.
That's all right. A lot of people forget that I'm anything.
Constantly calling you and hearing you as the producer. But you know that you write up as my number one.
Really?
You see?
I get moved.
It's just that at this present moment, I could only recall two that I was dealing with.
I know, man.
Now, I want to deal with human beings, Amber's tongue, but before I deal with that, I want to deal with two things. There's a saying that came along and said, if you sell your soul, you can't buy it back.
Correct.
You ever hear that term?
Yeah.
Good.
especially if you sell it to a certain individual.
Good. Now, the other one, and I always like to tell you my tours of, now, I was going to the wildlife pretty often. You know, suddenly you go somewhere, see something, and you don't register it.
Mm-hmm.
But the time comes that you
suddenly strikes
certainly
you.
Take it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a documentary that shows our wildlife with the flying fish. The life of a flying fish is the hardest life for a fish. Now, what they show you with this flying fish is that when the flying fish is in the water, it is attacked by the bigger fish, the dolphins and such like.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the ability to fly out of the water. Let it fly out of the water, the birds catch them in the air. If they settle in the water, the fishermen catch them. So who hard their lives are? Huh? And I registered that. Now, let me deal with traffic and bridge stuff.
Well, let me tell you before you move on, right?
Uh-huh.
That one of the reasons why fishermen in Barbados used to get picked up regularly in Tobago is because the Tobagonians claimed that they set up this area to spawn flying fish to use as bait to catch other fish. And the Belgian fishermen just used to slide in there and pick up the flying fish. So the Coast Guard just used to sit outside and wait on them to come back out.
I
laughed when I heard that because I said to them, you serious? They tell me, you think the Coast Guard got time to chase some Belgian fishermen? Just sit down outside the area and wait on them to come
up.
Okay. But anyhow, I just wanted to throw that in. So yeah, they actually use the flying fish for bait in TNT.
But you know, I'm glad you said that. That the guest that I was dealing with, you know what the lady asked me? After watching this documentary, what is your feeling about eating flying fish?
and how did you feel about it, by the way?
But to be honest with you, I guess it has a custom. But this is I didn't let her know that this is the first time that I really take this thing seriously.
Now you understand how survival sometimes ain't easy. Sometimes now, life ain't easy.
Yeah. Now, let me look at the human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
When I said human trafficking, I don't mean selling human beings. I'm talking about the visitation of human beings in town.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're trying to say they want to bring back tongue alive. Tongue was never alive. Listen to what I'm telling you. We had a man named Tom Adams. That when you come 7 o'clock, you had no buses, and he increased the period from 7 to 12 so that people could have more time in Bridgetown. Let me look at Bridgetown with the traffic, with the human beings in totality. You just mentioned the theater.
Mm-hmm.
What used to attract young people to town was the theater.
Yeah, the cinemas.
They had 40 years in town.
Mm-hmm.
What used to attract the older people was the supermarkets to buy groceries.
Mm-hmm.
We have one supermarket now in Fairstead Street that's struggling because all the other supermarkets now selling vegetables. And not only that, because I want to be short. I like to be short. You know that the very policemen and the traffic wardens running people out of town have no parking space. I ain't got nowhere to put the cars. So if you come into town and park your vehicle to do a little business, There's no way. And I was just stuck. They got some people who are more than putting tickets for your car. The whole part, you think that people continue to stay in town to pay the court $50 when there's no parking space? And
so there's plenty parking space in town. It yeah. just ain't in front of the buildings.
Right in front of the buildings.
Sir, sir, listen, man, hold on. You see this thing about they got parking space in town? I laugh every time I hear that. So there is parking just off of Independence Square here, along the same Bayside, just down from Liquidation Center. They got a car park there, okay? They got a car park across down at the other end. You have the high-rise car park there. Then you have the car park where the heliport used to be. So they got parking space in town. It's what? Just not next to the building. You want to go? They even got one down on the Harbor Road that we now put the immigration down on the thing. And Michael Lashley, in the conversation off the record, sorry, Mr. Lashley, I will call your name. Tell me, you should turn that in that high-rise building with people living upstairs. And I tell him, Michael, I can't disagree with you. You have a nice sea view from up there. But yes, sir, go ahead.
Dennis,
yes, sir.
Don't risk parking your car across by the chicken barn.
By the way,
that you should be a parking space. But my brother, they got a gentleman with his walkbook with a book in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
That whenever you come back, I take it on for your car.
But that's
all
not a car park.
Nelson Street, where I used to keep business, that used to be a parking spot that you could have parked your car and go and do your business. Then that gentleman out, there's a ticket.
But yes, that's my point. My point is, because of the increased traffic flow in and out of Bridgetown, it is impossible to park your car in front of the building you need to do business in anymore. We just got to get accustomed to that. But we don't.
But where are you going to go and park?
So in all them places I just tell you.
Let me make a suggestion that I made prior to the Cheapside, the repairing of Cheapside.
Mm-hmm.
I told certain people in office, mm-hmm. officials, mm-hmm. that the Cheapside market and the Fairchild market, when they rebuilt, they should be rebuilt with an overriding car park. So that if you come into town and you're going to shop in the market, which is right now, vegetable market, where you don't see anything, you could have parked your car on top and come down to the market.
Okay.
But let me say this to you.
I can't disagree with that.
Let me say this to you and come to human beings.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have that type of human being today. We have a different idea. Years ago, as a young man, we used to come to town. I used to come to town and go into Queen's Park to watch cricket. If you go in Queen's Park, no, can you find 10 people watching cricket?
Sir,
after that, you will find a young fella and his girlfriend
walking
would
boat.
Come into town, walk around, go to the theater, and do window shopping. You can't window shop no, because if you left your store open, the glass break, the material gone. Now,
and then therefore?
Then come to vegetables now. If you go into these big supermarkets, apart from Jordan, that's struggling wrong tongue, you get everything in there. People are not going to walk, vote in town. The big parcel years ago, your wife or your mother gone to town, she had a box and she put the groceries in her head and head for the bus. Them days don't work no more. The traffic in Bridgetown would never come back like what it used to be before. If you go into the park that one build now, you may sit down for 5 minutes and some shots let go and you're gone.
Sir,
you know what's going on.
I would hate to think, right, that we ever get to the stage where we are so disillusioned by our lives that we take the line you just take, especially coming after the previous caller who talked about his changes in life and why he made them and how it has changed the way he thinks. I hope you get to that moment, but not at this when it gets to that stage. I hope before you get to that stage, you change your way of thinking. Because I would not like to think that my children, I have three of them, they're adults now, but I would not like to think that the day comes when all Barbadians sit in their homes in front of a screen with electronic things in their hand and order their food online and pay their bills online and don't go outside and hear the birds and smell the sea breeze, the that scent of the sea that I love so much that some people think smell rotten. I don't know. Yeah, taste is taste. The same way Lodong like to smell goat dung. You know, I like to smell the sea. But because they're afraid to go outside and short slango, and what's life going to be if that's what it is? Here's what I don't understand. I don't understand why we must see our car when we go to shop. Why? I look at Sheraton that the gentleman yesterday said he likes to go to, as the, one of the malls he likes to go to. And I see people driving round and round and round the small square in between the two buildings looking for a place to park their car. When they got three stories next to them with nothing in it, and plus more on the other side, because they want to see their car when they go inside Sheraton. You can't. It glassed off. You're going into the food court to get lunch, so you got to park in front of the food court. You can't walk from four steps across the road to put your food down. And by the way, a man gets shot in Sheraton, right? You know, I mean, come on. It's a car. I know you pay $340,000 for it. Right. But you got to see it to go in the ATM to get $100? Look. I like my Suzuki, okay? I like my little Suzuki. And I know you park it and you get scratched. You're driving down the road and a man weed whacking, a stone fly and lick out your paint or break your glass. Or, yeah, okay. And some vagrant decide to kick off the wing mirror. Yeah, but it's a car. I can't pick it up and put it under my arm and go inside Cave Shepherd because I want to get a pair of shoes. You know, it don't make sense. There is parking in Bridgetown. Sometimes you have to pay. And you have to walk. Walking is good and healthy. So hold the missus' hand and walk across the road. Exchange a little quiet word. Who knows, she might like it. And you go in the supermarket and you walk out there and you pick up your groceries and you walk across in the market and you pick up the vegetables and you sit down by a kiosk. And you have a, you know, a little drink, and you remember when you're young and good-looking, and you're asking for a little, you know, a little niceness. Who knows? By the time you get home, she might be in the mood. But if you sit in an air-conditioned car, stuck in traffic and grumbling, and she ain't like the song you're playing, and, you know, you're vexed. When you get home and, you know, you reach out, you know, move. You know, because she vexed. You know. Change the thing, now, man. Jawed up there, so laughing at me. You understand what I'm saying, right, Lion? Good, right. Lion got a good wife. I like the lady. Good morning to the Mrs. Lion. The WhatsApp message says, something I want to raise, I recognized over the weekend on Saturday after a shower of rain, a number of persons slipped on the wet painted lines on the crosswalks. I've noticed that. Not only there, but in front of some buildings along Fairchild Street here, when it rains and you're walking along, you do slip because of the surface. It is dangerous. The paint, even driving cars across them, when you hit the brake, you hear this slip because of the type of material being used. Someone else said to me, the problem is some of the car parks close at 7 o'clock. And that's the issue. It's not that there are no car parks, it's that the hours they operate. If you work in town, for example, and you finish work at 6 o'clock, but your car is in a car park that closes at 5 o'clock, you've got a problem. And you're not going to stay in town post 6 o'clock to have a drink with your friends and recreate yourself if your car is locked up in a car park and you can't get out. So that is part of the problem. Listening to the architects and the discussion on the renovation of Bridgetown yesterday, one of the things they talked about was the recreation of the airport, of the market area. And some of the things, well, I wait to see the designs, but some of the things I heard, I smiled. Which car park closes at 5? Okay. The person told me the one they close at 7. I simply made a suggestion that if you worked in Tung and finished at 6, but anyway, let me not bother. People will just hear what they want to hear when I speak. Brass Dax, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, good morning. I see myself as a very respectful person, mm-hmm. but I would prefer you to still, you know, guide me as I go on. I call to talk about homosexuality, not person, but homosexuality.
Sir, then don't discuss it today, and not with me. That's my guidance right there. Thank you. That's my guidance right there. You asked for it, I gave it to you. Especially since you put that disclaimer at the top. So if I come on the air and say, I don't want to talk about bombing anybody in particular, but then I start talking about bombing, I'm on the wrong line. I like to guide people away from hurting themselves and having John overwork his finger. Brass Dax, good morning. Brass Dax, good morning. 434-1790. The Monday edition of Dr. Brass Dax. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Good morning, sir.
All the best to you and the family, and also to your work colleagues, everybody.
Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome. I have a concern. Mm-hmm. It goes a little further than that, actually. Mm-hmm. I live at the very corner of Marshall Park and Singer and Seas Avenue off to the bridge. Okay. It's a situation that has been going on since June that it scares me. We had a burst pipe right at the base of a utility pole. It got burst sometime in June, and to this day, it has not been fixed. Mm-hmm. After at least 3 calls to the Barbados Water Authority. The last one I did, the lady told me there's no record of anybody calling and saying that there was a problem. I said, okay, fine. I am now calling. This was in November. Mm-hmm. I told her, the pipe has been burst since June. We've had trucks pass on this road. I mean, it stopped on the stairs. It's not on their worksheet. So I can't do anything about it. I said already. I called a sporty young lady. Do you remember her name? She was very friendly, very courteous, and very accommodating. I told her at length what the situation was. Now there's a pool of water, stagnant pool of water, it covers in mosquitoes. So we also put fish in there, just so that I guess it would eat the mosquito eggs or whatever. Up to this day, nobody has come and done anything about it. And the problem is that I know the base of that pool would have been weakened because of the constant water. Flow of water. Right. I've called Barbados Water Authority, also called Light and Power. I gave him the pole number. It's a very, and there's a lot of wiring going in and out of that that post. And my thing is, no, and even with the events we had this weekend, suppose something like happens and the pole snaps.
Snap.
Somebody hit it with a car or a truck. Yeah. Because this is a very busy area. Many buses come through here at a roaring pace. Your delivery trucks are always through here. Cars themselves come through here. If anybody hit that post and it breaks, it's going to fall on any of 4 houses. But it's right opposite Seas Avenue. One is uninhabited, but all the others, if it falls, it's going to crash into the houses. And we all know what the possibilities are. Falling wires, live electricity.
And water and electricity don't mix.
Exactly. And I have called Agent Power. I have spoken to a lady. She took all the information. Up to this moment, there's nothing done about it. And it has me a little concerned. Because my house is right
in its path.
Pardon me?
It's in its path?
Yes. If it falls in its path, excuse me, it's going to fall on my home, the one below me, or the one opposite me. The other one on the other side is unoccupied, so I don't see that much of a problem there. But they still could get shocked if they don't get bludgeoned by the post falling. And I don't know what else they need to do. I've called, like I said, I've called even Light and Power. And they give them all the information, the location, how long this pool of water was settling right beneath this post. Everything. I don't know what up to this point, and nobody saw it fit to come and do anything about it. So my partner suggested they call Brass Dax and let you hold up, Barbados, know what's going on. Maybe then they'll be able to kickstart somebody.
Let me hear that exact location again, because I'm sure Mrs. Harris Griffith will send a message asking exactly where it is again. Mrs. Okay. Harris Griffith is the lady who handles public relations for the Barbados Water Authority. It's the corner of?
It's the corner of Marshall and Parkinson Gap and Sears Avenue. This off to the beach. If you leave Zephyrings, you come straight, if you go into Fairfield Crossroad, before you get there, I would tell.
This is a left turn or right turn?
Yeah, a left turn.
Left
you
turn,
come up
right,
the little hill. You come. You could turn it to Marsh Parson Gap. But it's a smaller road, so you might not be feasible. It makes sense for the big truck to come to that area. Because it would be car parking road. But just to give you the exact location, if you come to, if you turn by opposite the Q Church,
right,
or the Town Supermarket, you come right up, maybe for another 400 yards, you come to Marshall and Parkinson Gap. You turn down that gap. About 100, 120, 25 yards from the corner on the right-hand side, you can't miss the pool of water. It's like a swimming pool. Kids play in it, and you try to warn them all the time, but it's not healthy to do that. Like kids,
can't stop children, yeah.
Exactly. And it is on the right-hand side, right opposite Sears Avenue. You can't miss it.
Okay. I hope...
I can't make the post number now. I will get up and go look at the post
number. Don't worry. I hope that the Water Authority is listening, and if they're not... when Yvette calls, at least we'll have the information to pass on to her. So I hope they fix it, because this issue of the possibility of poles falling and wires and water, it's a catastrophe that I would not like to imagine happening to anyone. It's not going to be healthy. It's not going to be a happy end either. So I hope they hear you, sir, and I hope this gets a response. Although, again, sir, I find it strange. I remember having this discussion before with someone else on air, and the Barbados Light and Power Company sent a message saying that their guys are allowed to do it. I find it strange that a water authority truck heading to do one job could see another job and say it's not on my worksheet, so they just go along. They're not allowed to take note of it. They're not allowed to stop and fix it and put it on a worksheet and say, we did this job. The person whose house is in front of signs off and say, yes, I saw them do it. And, they check to see that it was done in truth, and the guys get paid for it, if that's how they get paid. It don't make sense to me to come to fix a leak at house number 175, and you got one at 178 and you drive past it because it's not on the worksheet and say, I can come back to that. It, to me, it's senseless, but, I suppose rules are rules and they're following the rule. I don't work this, so, not a challenge I would face, but just to me, it seems odd. But thank you, sir, and I hope they fix it. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you?
I am all right, I think.
Yes, no, thanks to you, and I want to say good morning and a prayer for Mr. How are you today, brother? Now, he has thanked you for quite a lot, and I'm sure, apart from me, he may not read every so now and again saying it, there are so many people out there, Mr. Johnson, who you have made an impression on their lives, those with what we would call debilitating illnesses, people who don't want to laugh. Can't find nothing funny enough to laugh at. But, of course, each one of us knows somebody who's got one of these illnesses. But we don't see them and we don't hear them. And some people don't want to talk about these things. But you have inspired me. Because, you said the first time you said on the radio about your illness. Then I said this, apart from fell in love with your voice the first time I heard you on the radio. I said, if Mr. Johnson can laugh, I can laugh too. If Mr. Johnson can do it, I can do it too, but I try to overdo it and do things that I shouldn't be doing. Because just like this morning, my flayed legs seem more like jello than anything else. But if you can call it more jellier this morning, that's how they feel. But I heard you laughing. And I heard the patient calling and say, thanks, Mr. Johnson. So I'm calling once more to tell you, thanks so very much. And you know something? When I hear you on the air, Mr. Johnson, I can always say, this is not one of Mr. Johnson's best days. And you know why? I know how I feel and I sound on my best days. Not my best days, going to any best days. I know how I feel when I hear your voice. I say, today is not one of Mr. Johnson's days. But he's on the air. He's laughing, not as hard as he used to laughing, but he's laughing anyway. and he would make you laugh if you. Thanks so very much, Mr. Johnson.
Thank you as well, ma'am. It's best to laugh at adversity sometimes, and criticism too. Dennis, you're correct, says the WhatsApp. All the car parks operated by the police close at 5. I've personally had my car locked in the multi-story car park a few years back because they closed at 7, but Bridgetown was closing at either 9 or 10. I did eventually get it out, but better can be done, and it was over the Christmas season. So that was the response on that one. Brass Tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Dennis.
Hey. Morning.
With the proposal to construct the Hyatt and a hotel in the General Hospital complex, don't you think the redevelopment of Nelson Street should take priority over the construction of the park?
Sir, I believe the rehabilitation of Bridgetown extending out to the area heading up towards Chelsea Road, that entire area there. I think that area, if you drive through there, you see some of the houses already being nicely redone. I think the redevelopment of Bridgetown must include the housing area extending into that area. So that whole footprint from the Garrison through Bridgetown down to Lakes Folly, Rihanna Drive, all the way by Westbury. There must be a look to rehabilitate the look of Bridgetown. If you want to make the city vibrant, those who live in its environs must live comfortably and be able to get to the city in relatively short time and enjoy the experience. I think it should be done. That area out by the court, we talk a lot about that area in the back there, and there were supposed to be plans to develop them. I think it should be done. Now, the question is, I suppose you're asking a case of priorities and what kind of money you spend. If you have financing available for one thing but not for another, you will go with the one you have financing for. So if you have a developer or developers who say, look, as part of our plans to do this and that, we will put some money behind A, B, C, D. What will you tell them? No, put it behind housing. They may listen to you. I heard a guy making a plea about, you know, employing the people in and around the area of Nelson Street when you build the Hyatt. And I agree with him. Because if they could walk across to work, you won't have to worry about where they park their car. Right? Because they'll leave and walk across to work. Or you'll send a shuttle for them or whatever. But I agree, the Bridgetown needs to be, and its environs needs rehabilitating. And it looking at things like roads, how close you are to the road, how close the houses are to each other, what type of structure it is it sound? Yes, totally agree with you, sir. I can't say no. But as I said, finance talks. Who's financing the park, you know?
I don't know.
I don't know. Which is why I said depending on who's financing it. Which is why I threw the ball up in the air to see where it landed when I said depending on what you say. Look, sir, I like the city. Okay? For all its faults, there are people who live there. There are people who earn their livelihood there. And they're content with the little that they have. But the Bayland, Nelson Street, Cat's Castle, those areas, sir, have been home to generations of Barbadians. And if they want to make their surroundings comfortable, I think they should be allowed to do so. There should be some incentive to make them want to, you know, upgrade their homes. The same way we're talking about putting water toilets as opposed to pit toilets. And the next step is fixing the roof and fixing the floorboards. Because there are a lot of buildings in and around that area that structurally, you know, the walls can stand up, but the floors are eaten out and the roof not as, you know, being held down by bricks. Remember the Prime Minister saying so the last time we had a threat that people had roofs with bricks holding down the roof and they shouldn't be doing that. They can fly about in high winds. So we know it exists. Priorities, huh?
So, yeah. Do you think any consideration is going to be given to the architect's proposal?
I doubt it. I doubt it. I'll tell you why I doubt it. I doubt it because whatever plans have been made have been pretty much made solidly. And I don't think there's room for let's change our minds now. And it goes back to who's financing the project. Because there must be finance for the project. Projects don't just happen so. That's the truth. You don't think the project being financed?
Yeah, but any project has to be financed.
And don't financiers call the shots?
So you think it's being done by
I believe that there must be an element of private enterprise involved in it, sir. Because I have not heard a price for the project. I have not heard a price for the taking down of the structures that are there. I have not heard the price for the construction of a new fire station somewhere. So perhaps we'll hear those in the estimates and we'll find out where the funds are coming from. But it must be financed from somewhere. Financing don't just happen. Projects don't just happen. All the scaffolding they're going up and the people assigned to the job, I don't think they're doing it for free. So it has to be financed by somebody from somewhere.
Okay, Mr. Johnson. Thank you.
Okay, sir. Mm-hmm. No problem.